The second half of the 70s were a big time for music in Australia, particularly in Sydney and Melbourne, with an explosion of creativity from the likes of the Go-Betweens, the Birthday Party and Tisk Tisk Tisk. Bands were prepared to step outside the norm and explore musical styles never before seen in this country. The packaging of the music at the time is something that was unique for the period as well, as bands started to explore DIY methods of creating and delivering their music to the fans. A range of methods were used, and this has now been documented. Local Sydney-sider Murray Bennett joins me today, and he's gone through the rarely seen or heard music from the late 70s and compiled a book called Product 45 of Australian Punk and Post-Punk Record Covers. G'day, Murray. How are you?
Mick, I'm very good. Thank you for having me this afternoon.
Oh, thanks for coming in. I've got the book right here in front of me. You've brought it in. It's a really striking cover and a really nice design. It's called Product 45, Australian Punk, Post-Punk Record Covers, and this is covering just a certain period.
The book actually starts in 1975 with a fellow called Jeremy Feibiger, and Jeremy was an immigrant to Australia, lived in Melbourne and started importing records from England and selling them door to door. And he started to look at Australian bands that couldn't get any recording deals and started recording them himself. And that was the start of, I feel, the do-it-yourself punk ethic. Mm-hmm. So it's actually before 76, just a background in that ideology of the do-it-yourself attitude.
So bands were sort of starting to stray from major labels already then, or if they weren't signed to a major label, they'd just go and produce the albums themselves, record them at home?
That's it, pretty much exactly. They were ignored by the major labels, but there were musicians that wanted to make music and get their music out there.
Yeah, yeah. So the book itself, it's obviously a project of love, and you've been working on it for a couple of years now.
Yep, a 2.5-year project of love. So, yes, a lot of blood, sweat and tears have gone into it. It's something very close to me. I was an underage punter going to see bands in 78, 79, the Mossman Hotel, the Sydney Trade Union Club, the Graphic Arts Club, all these just fantastic venues, and there was always great bands on, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. Wow. There's always something to see. So,
but I love that you've gone back to the very roots, and obviously you've got a great love for the music as part of these covers. Were you collecting a lot of the 45s back then?
I think we all did. We'd go see a band and their merchandise, they might have a single for sale. And, I'll get that. It was only $2 at the time. Yeah. So you'd buy what they have. There were Anthem Records and the Record Plant and Phantom that were great record stores here in Sydney. And there were Archie and Jugheads in Melbourne. There was in Brisbane and Adelaide, and I'm sure Perth as well. They had these record stores that just stocked these few records that, a print run of maybe 10 to 300 of local bands.
So you've been designing and packaging music yourself for quite a while.
Yes.
And I guess you would have seen a lot of bands, a lot of artists come and go with their designs and their albums. Is there anything that stands out for you in that era of period, that your favourite sort of design or your favourite packaging from...
Firstly, with the onset of CDs were packaged in plastic cases, and plastic is cold. Whereas the vinyl cover, whether it was a 12-inch cover or a 7-inch cover, it's made out of paper, and paper is warm. Mm-hmm. And you could put on a 12-inch cover, you could put a large photo, and you could read the type. They'd have the lyrics of the songs. It wasn't like looking at a booklet in a CD where you have to squint to read the lyrics or there's not enough room, you can't have a detailed photo. So that was a bugbear of mine. I developed patent and trademarked packaging that reflected the feel of an album cover, but for CDs. So that was used. It took Shock Records over to Midham in Europe. It was used for promoting touring bands through Australia. So that's my background in the packaging of music.
I have always preferred the paper covers in CDs. And maybe that's just because I'm a little bit older and I do remember records when I was young. But I've always liked that, I don't like... Yeah, you're right. The plastic is always just so clunky and plasticky. And
it's cold.
Yeah, it's cold. And I've never really thought about that like that. But
and paper has a nice tactile feel. Mm-hmm. And you can get coated paper, uncoated paper. It's just... it's nice to touch. That's why I think books are going to be... Books will never diminish. We'll have... digital versions of books, but the paper product will be here, I think forever.
Because it's warm.
Yes.
And it makes you feel comfortable to hold a real paper book.
And they're nice to give as gifts.
That's it.
And nice to receive,
Better than giving a voucher to Amazon.
Yeah, that's right.
I was going to ask you about that. About your thoughts around the digitization of music. Obviously, nowadays, albums that are released sometimes exclusively online, and they don't even release physical copies of some songs. Do you think with vinyl starting to have a bit of a resurgence again, do you think artists are starting to appreciate that people would rather have physical copies of their music?
I hope so. When there are two ways to listen to music. If you listen to music digitally through your computer, you're sitting forward and listening to it come through the computer. Whereas with a single or with vinyl single or a 12-inch album, there is a motion of taking the record out of the cover, putting it on the turntable, putting the arm on the needle, and you sit back to listen to it. You're actually sitting back to enjoy it. Mm. So when you sit back and to listen to music, you're more receptive to it. You're more open to listen and appreciate it. When you're sitting forward, you're already in a closed position. So if artists are smart enough, they will still continue to release music on vinyl.
Now, you've brought in a whole pile of 7 inches here, and they have all sorts of different designs on them. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the different designs you've got?
Yeah, certainly. There was, back then, in the late 70s, it was all about designing, creating a cover with what you could do, what you had access to. Mm-hmm. And there's one by the Psychosurgeons that Mark Taylor did, and it's blood spilt all over the covers.
Real blood.
Who's scratch blood? And spell. It is. It's whose blood? Well, Mark wouldn't say. It's actually cow blood.
Okay.
And they bought 500 blank record sleeves, 7-inch record sleeves, laid them out on the studio floor, and went to town. Poured blood all over them.
So every cover is going to be completely unique.
Yeah. And there is actually a limited edition of these where the band have signed their names in their own blood.
Wow.
So that's the length that these bands went to.
Their DNA on the on the vinyl.
And another one, there's just quickly, there's the Young Identities from Queensland and also the U-Bombs from Adelaide. And both of these are examples of printing one colour, screen print one colour onto coloured stock, fold it down and put it wrap it around a record. Again, it's just using what you were able to get your hands on. The U-Bombs has printed silver ink on black, which just looks so dynamic.
Yeah.
And with the Young Identities, what Rod did was he just had one colour ink, which was dark blue, but he printed it onto light blue stock, onto red, onto yellow, and onto green. So it looked like different versions of the same record. Just very clever.
And it gives people that opportunity to collect the set. You know, you've got, I want that colour and that colour.
Yes.
And that colour. It's such a marketing ploy. I like it.
Yeah, they were thinking ahead.
That's it. And like you say, people were doing this themselves, you know, and so many of these covers are just so unique, you know. And
yes.
You know that your cover is not going to be the same as the next person who buys it. And all these are inside the book.
Oh, yes. Yep, there are all these and plenty more.
Fantastic. Now, the book itself.
Yes.
It's available from...
It's distributed through Dennis Jones & Associates, so it's available Australia-wide through all good bookstores and record stores. It'll be in retail, should be from the 1st of December.
But I believe there's a way people can get a secret limited version of it as well.
Yes. Mick, thank you for mentioning that. Yes, there is, through Facebook, there is a pre-sale going on at the moment. There are only 300 copies that come with two 7-inch singles. And these records, one is by Cybertron. It's one track that goes for 10 minutes, so it's split over two sides of a single. And the other one is the band The Last Words.
Well, Murray, thank you very much for coming into the studio today, bringing your book and a whole pile of vinyl here, which is great. I just wish we had the record player set up to play any of it, but maybe next time.
Mick, fantastic. I appreciate the opportunity and great speaking with you.
You too. Thanks a lot.